take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to find verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25, I'm going to deal with a subject today that is preached to you constantly, and that is the subject of anxiety and worry. If you turn on the news, this is what you will hear. The U.S. is going to default on debt payments. You know what they say? They don't say, but they say, worry about it. There might be a mild recession. Worry about it. The job market might struggle. Worry about it. You might not be able to buy Christmas presents for your children. Worry about it. North Korea test another missile. What's said behind that? Worry about it. There's not a lot that you can do about it. They're just telling you, and then it's our job to worry about it. Many are controlled by their worry. We drag this with us like a boat dragging an anchor. We like to carry our worries with us. We like to hang on to them. But I think we can all universally agree that worry is not something that is really helpful to us. Worry is the opposite of joy. It's the opposite of peace. It's the opposite of contentment. And so worry is going to steal your joy. It's going to steal your peace. It's going to steal your contentment. And so it's kind of interesting timing. If you've been missing out on Sunday school, the last two lessons covered on depression. And what we're going to talk about here in the morning service then is anxiety or worry. So let's see what God has to say in this subject. Would you stand with me out of respect for God's word? We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 down through verse 34. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and clothing, and the body? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air; they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more value than they? And which you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not even arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for a passage like this. Very specific passage, and it deals with something that I think is in the back of a lot of our minds, though it might not be the exact thing that's you've put down here. We all deal with anxiety or worry in some regard or fashion. I pray as I preach this, God, that I would give the right interpretation of it. You would give me the right words to speak the most helpful way. Pray my words would be your words, and Lord, anything that you don't intend to be spoken would not be spoken. Pray that you use this passage to strengthen us, to challenge us, and to help us to press forward in our life of honoring you and serving you. So be with us in this time. May you work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, up front, I want to fence this conversation. There are all kinds of causes for anxiety and worry. For instance, mentioned this one in the Sunday school hour, guilt. Guilt is a major cause of anxiety and a major cause of worry in this world, because when you've done something wrong, you're going to worry about it. You're going to worry that people find out about it. And it's going to eat you up inside. Or add this to the picture. If you're a lie weaver, you're good at weaving webs of lies. I firmly believe this. It's 100 more times work to keep up a web of lies than it is to just tell the truth. Because when you tell one lie, you got to cover it, and you got to keep covering it, and you got to make sure that those who know the truth don't tell anyone. And so you put in a lot of work, and this can cause a lot of anxiety within your soul. And so there are things like that guilt that will cause anxiety in your heart and soul. We're not going to address that necessarily. That would be for a different message. But let me take you maybe more to an innocent realm. People have anxiety, like if they have a test coming up, or if they're going to start a new job, or if they got relational problems. People have anxiety if they've dealt with a lot of trauma. Or sometimes there's things like an overactive thyroid, and that will just cause someone, it will eat away at them, and it will just cause a lot of anxiety within their heart. Now, I want to say this, that a lot of what is said in this passage can be helpful, maybe not to all of those circumstances, but some of them in some way, shape, or form. And so I hope as I go through this, if that's the stuff you deal with, maybe you can find some help in there. But I want you to realize that the main thrust of this passage is in regards to financial worry. It's in regards to financial worry. Worry about money. Worry that you're going to have enough. Worry that God is going to meet, and here's the really specific part of it, that God is going to meet your basic needs. That's where this is going. Well, it's also important to understand that this message falls on the heels of the last passage. Remember what we talked about last week? Lay up your treasures in where? Heaven. Not on where? Not on earth. Therefore, this message is not for those who are laying up their treasures on this earth and not laying them up in heaven. So in other words, if you got a lot of bills, you've got yourself in a world of hurt, and you've gotten yourself beyond your means, and you're struggling that way, if you really are laying up your treasures in heaven, this message is not for you. The last message is for you, which says, stop laying up your treasures on earth. Maybe you need to sell some of that stuff and start laying up your treasures in heaven. So this is not talking about all financial worry. It's not talking about the financial worry of, oh no, I bought a $50,000 truck and I can't make the payments and the help is not here that, well, God's going to provide for you. That's not what this is talking about. Rather, this message is going for the person who takes what we said last week, verses 19 through 24, and they say, you know what? I have been living my life laying up my treasures on this earth. And I agree with everything that verses 19 through 24 says, that is a place where moth and rust corrupts. It's all liable to loss. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have nothing to show for it. And I don't want to waste my life. And I don't want to just do nothing with it. I want to do something of eternal value, but you're nervous to take the step. Why? Because you realize if I'm going to serve the Lord, well, that's not always a job that has a secure paycheck. And if I'm going to serve the Lord, that's going to mean there's going to be times where I'm going to have to choose to take money and put them behind my decisions to serve the church, serve the Lord, and serve in spiritual ways. Money's going to have to come second. God's going to have to come first. And so I'm just nervous to take that step because I know the security blanket is there and I don't want to lose that. And so if that's you, if you've taken verses 19 through 24 to heart, then that's where this passage kicks in. God speaks this right to you. And so I've entitled this, Do Not Be Anxious. Notice what verse 25 says. Jesus begins by saying these words, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And what you'll see go from here is four reasons why you should not be anxious about the basic needs of God taking care of your life. If you're going to step out and you're going to place God first, you have no reason to really be nervous, to be anxious about it. Four reasons. Here's number one. Life is more than clothing and food. Life is more than food and clothing. You know what it means to be anxious? It means to be overly concerned about. And so if I could start by saying this, you remember the last passage, it said you cannot serve God and what? Money. You can't serve God and money. So we're not to put our best efforts there. We're to realize that the things that we accumulate, that's not the end all of life. We're not to put a greater portion of our thoughts to gaining things. My brother-in-law said this, and it's a good point. He says this, worry and anxiety about earthly possessions. We're not talking about basic needs, but just earthly possessions. If you're worried about your earthly things, I'm not going to be able to keep it. I can't make my payment. If that's where you're at, he says that's a form of serving your wealth and possessions. In other words, if you just worry about my stuff, you know where your heart really lies? With your stuff. It's an indication of that. And what Jesus is saying in this passage is realize that your life is more than stuff. And even bring it a little bit lower, he says your life is not even just more than stuff. Your life is more than your basic needs. That's where we're going. It's more than food, and it's more than clothing. Food and clothing, big things in life, are they not? We have gatherings that are centered around food. For instance, if you're going to invite someone over, what do you invite them over for? Dinner, lunch, some kind of meal. We center our gatherings around food. We're going to have a gathering at the church. You know what we'll gather around? Well, the Word of God, but food, potlucks, we call them. Communion. Communion is a time where it's centered around Jesus Christ, but you know what the symbolism is all centered around? It's centered around food. In the Old Testament, there's the Old Testament feasts. There's seven of them, and they're centered around food. So food is just a major thing in life, and clothing. It's also a major thing. It's a huge industry. You go through Salina, and you know what half the stores are there? They're clothing stores. You got like food, you got lumber, and you got clothing. And so it's a major, major industry. And why is that so? Because these are the basics of life. Without food, what happens? You starve and you die. Without clothing, what happens? No one wants to say that one. You run around naked and you freeze and you die. And so they're necessities of life. I'll say this, I appreciate food. A well-cooked meal, a good piece of meat, some bread, something to drink. I really appreciate something like that. I appreciate clothing. I know you do too. It keeps us all from shame. It protects us from the elements. And it can really dress up a person and make them look nice. But can I ask you this question? Is your life just about the food you eat and the clothing that you wear? Is that your life? Put it like this. If I gave you a quiz and you were to, and this was the question, what is life about? Would your answer be on there? Well, it's about food and clothing. As long as I have food to eat each day and I have clothing to put on my back, why, then I have lived life to the fullest. Now, I don't think you would write that. You would write different things on there, and I know we'd get a whole plethora of answers. I think family would be a big one that people would put up there, but I want you to realize that that is not what food and clothes, or that's not what life is all about. That's not where it's all at. Let me give you an illustration. I'll put it this way. There are things that are so much more in life, important in life than food and clothing. Give you a picture of a wedding. Is food and clothing important at a wedding? Yes? No? Majorly important. A woman will spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on a piece of clothing. And then there's all the bridesmaids' dresses and the groom's suit and then all the other clothing that comes with that stuff too. You want stuff to look nice. Is food a major part of a wedding? Absolutely. I mean, because it's a celebration meal, so you want it to be as good as it can be. But let me put it this way. Let's picture you got a very poor couple going to get married. There's no money in the groom. There's no money in the bride. There's no money in the bride's family. There's no money in the groom's family. And so what do? They go to Goodwill, and they find some clothing there. And it might be a white dress. It might not be a white dress. And you know, you can find a suit in Goodwill. It might not match. It might not fit right. You can find a suit there. Let's say they go there and they buy $20 worth of clothing and they put that on. Can that still be the happiest day of those people's lives? You better believe it, because the wedding is more than food and clothing, and so it is with life. Let me ask you this. What is life really about? What is life really about? Like I said, we might say family. We might say grandkids. We might say something of that nature. But what is life really about? It's about eternity. You live for eternity. The person next to you lives for eternity. The people that we hopefully meet tonight, they're living, and maybe they don't have their goals right, but the purpose on this earth that they are here for is for eternal purposes. And we might forget that from time to time. I know we really get brought aside and we start to get into the whole work ethic and doing things here on this earth. But you've all been to funerals. And you remember that feeling that you get at funerals. At every funeral, you have this reminder that this life is not about anything here. My life is lived for eternity. That's what really matters. You know, Jesus gives us a good picture of this in John chapter 4. I won't have you turn there. I'll just give you the story. I think you'll remember it. Jesus is sitting with his disciples at a well. And his disciples have ran off to go grocery shopping. And they bring back some groceries, and they're all sitting down. They're passing around the sandwiches, and they look at Jesus. He's not eating, and so they say, "Hey, Rabbi, eat." You remember his words from there? He said, "I have food that you guys don't know about." And they're thinking like, "You stuff something in your pocket? Someone else bring you something to eat while we were gone? You know, where'd you get this food from?" And he says these words, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." That's my food. In other words, what he was saying in this, my life is not tied up in food. It's this very thing. My life is not tied up in these even just basic necessities. I live for a greater purpose, and that is to do the will of the Father. And you remember what he just got done doing? He made an eternal difference in the woman who had just came there. Made a difference in her life. And so that's what he's saying. That's what my life is about. And that's what Jesus is saying here too. Your life is more than food and clothing. Don't be so worried about this. This is not number one. It's not the biggest thing of life. On a welder, how many of you can weld? I mean, you can use a plasma cutter. All right. You guys will get this illustration. The rest of you might not. On a welder, there's these tips that you screw on there and you take them off. They're called consumables. You know why they're called consumables? Because they wear out. But they wear out not just for a useless purpose. They wear out for a greater purpose that's accomplished. And this is what is going on here. Jesus says, food and clothing, don't worry about that so much. Don't worry about whether you're going to be taken care of or not. And just serve the Lord because, you know, look, these things are just consumables. You screw them on, and then you unscrew them, you put a new one on. That's all it is. Some people treat clothing like it's a god. And I know you, if you remember your high school years, this is especially true there. It's all about what brand of clothing you got and whether you got the expensive style or whether you don't, because it means status. That sometimes continues on to older years, but I know it's bigger in those years. Some treat food like it's their god. They revolve their life around it. But I just say this, enjoy a good meal when it comes. Enjoy nice clothing when it comes, especially if you can find it on a discount. But realize that those are just consumables. They're not the major things of life. Don't just live your life for food and clothing. Don't put all your worry into whether God's going to take care of you or not, because life is more than food and clothing. Second point, God takes care of the insignificant things of this world. How much more valuable are you than they? God takes care of some insignificant things in this world. He gives two examples here. The first is of the birds. It's of the verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You see those birds that sit outside? They sit on the power line. they flock to the trees, and you know, you go scare them, and they go fluttering everywhere. You see the birds that play out in the yard. You ever think, stop and think, those birds don't plant wheat fields. They don't get the combine going in the fall. They don't try and make sure they got enough truck drivers so that when all the berries get picked that they can get them back to the nest. Let's go lower. They don't even plant gardens. But they always, always, always have food. You ever seen a bird starve to death? I haven't. In fact, you just don't even see birds die a lot of the time unless you hit them with the car. You just don't see a dead bird laying on the ground. I heard Chuck Swindoll say this. He said, I don't know where they go when they die, but they all go somewhere because you never see them. God has all kinds of ways that he feeds the birds. There's the berries on the tree. There's the worms in the ground. There's the French fries in the parking lot. God even uses you to feed those birds. My wife was observing this. You go sit in like Lowe's parking lot and Walmart's parking lot, and you see all these birds skipping around there. You ever wonder what they're eating or what they're doing? It's like it's concrete. There's no worms here. It's not like people are tossing food out all day. So what are they doing? Well, she watched one walk up to the grill of a car and pick off some barbecue. And so God will even use those cars to feed the birds. They always, always, always have food. They just fly around and find it. You don't have any birds who, you know, lay three eggs and then go, oh, no triplets. How are we going to put food into their beaks? How are we going to pay for their college funds? No, what do? They just fly around and they find food. It's not saying you shouldn't plan and invest. It's not saying that you shouldn't work. There's plenty of verses in the Bible that show wisdom in investing. Jesus praises wise investors. Proverbs talk about planning for the future. And so it's not about that. It's not saying we don't work. The Bible says, go to the ant. She prepares her food in the summer. She gathers her food up in the harvest. And so it's just saying this, don't spend all your time and energy worrying if there's going to be food or not. Because God cares for the birds, and the key truth, if he cares for the insignificant, how much greater does he care for you? If he cares for that which is not eternal, how much greater does he care for the eternal? And if he cares for something that is not made in God's image, how much more does he care for someone who is made in the image of God? If he cares for something that doesn't necessarily do his will as far as, you know, in people ministry, how much more is he going to care for someone who lays down their earthly treasure and says, you know what, God, I'm going to do your will. Do you think God's going to provide for that kind of person? You better believe it. That's what this passage says. Verse 27 adds to the picture. It says, and which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? That's the point making, that anxiety really achieves nothing. It's pointless. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. You know the second part of that? It goes like this. In every life, we have some troubles, but when you worry, you make it double. I thought about entitling this sermon that. Don't worry, be happy. That or Hakuna Matata. But that's the point he's saying in here, that when you worry, it doesn't actually accomplish something. You can't add to your life by worrying it away. In fact, you can shorten your life by worrying it away. You're never going to add to your life by worrying it away. You will almost always shorten it because you add stress to your life. And so you can't add 1 hour, you can't add 1 inch to your height by worrying. And so don't waste all your mental energy worrying. Don't waste all the energy that you have doing that. Use it for a greater purpose. Don't be like a hamster in a wheel, just spinning its wheels and it's getting nowhere. That's what you do when you worry. The food's going to be there or it's not going to be there. So spend your time on what really matters. He gives the second illustration of the flowers, and this just kind of backs up what we just said. But verse 28 says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, look at the wildflowers. The biggest one around here, it's going to be the sunflower. I know a lot of you think it's a weed, but you look at that thing, and there is some beauty to a sunflower. I mean, take a wildflower, any wildflower that you can find, there's some out there, and go look at that thing with a close eye. It's pretty from a distance. You look up closely, and you can see that thing is very intricately decorated. Go on Google and look up a microscopic picture of a flower. God has very intricately decorated the wildflowers, and the argument comes once again that he is going to do that for you. It's insignificant, he says. It's grass. It's not eternal. It's here today. It's burned tomorrow. But he cares for it deeply. How much greater are you? We worry because we're greedy, because we might lose our wealth. But here's the truth. You're not going to go hungry. You're not going to go naked. God's going to provide the basics for you. Can you think of any time in your own life, any time, that God hasn't given you the basics? Any time where you were naked, you literally had no clothing. Any time where you literally had no food, maybe not for a half an hour, but I'm talking for a day, for 2 days, more than 3 days, and you wouldn't be here. God always gives the basics. It's not always the steak. It's not always oranges. Sometimes it's leafy greens. But God always gives the basics that we need. Can you think of anyone in our church? Can you think of the poorest Christian that you might know? Have they ever gone without food and without clothing? Can you think of any one of our missionaries, someone who said, hey, look, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all I got. I'm going to lay up my treasure in heaven 100% of my time. I want to give that way. And this is the path that I think you led me down. Can you name one missionary that's died from starvation or from lack of clothing? I can't. And I'm not saying they're not out there. There might be someone who got in a deep, lost situation. But as a whole, you notice this is how it goes. God takes care of his children. He doesn't let them go without their basic needs. And so he will do to anyone who gives themselves to the most important things, who don't serve money, but serve him. Well, in verse 30, Jesus gives us an interesting piece of information. I don't want to make light of this at all. This is really a key to understanding this whole passage. Notice what he says here. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then here's the last few words. O you of little faith. Why is all the worry in the world wrong? Because it is the opposite of faith. Many would like to just run straight to, you got worry, you got anxiety about all these financial things. Well, you must have some kind of brain problem, and so let's diagnose you with some kind of disorder. But what Jesus says right here is, no, if finance, and I know there's other kind of worries out there, I've already acknowledged that, but if financial worry is your key, it's not some kind of brain problem. It's a faith problem. You have little faith in the Lord, that God is going to provide your basic needs. You deny his power, you deny his provision, you assume that it's all up to you, and you're saying, God, I don't trust you, I know you're the one in charge, and even this, I know you can save my soul, but I don't think you can put food on my plate. You follow that? People are afraid to give their lives to the Lord, because where's my money going to come from? Well, look, if you can trust God to save you from your sins, then you better be able to trust him that he's going to always have food on your plate. That's the third reason. He feeds the birds. He clothes the flowers. He'll take care of you. Sorry, second reason. Third reason. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Verse 31 and 32, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Don't you notice what he says at the beginning of verse 32? He says, the Gentiles seek after these things. For a Gentile, this is someone that doesn't know God. They have no heavenly Father. A Gentile says, it's all up to me. Food and clothing, that's where it's at. And I'm going to worry and worry about it because there's no one I can rely on except for me. And so he's saying, don't be like that. You're not someone who has no father. You're not a Gentile. You have a God. You have a father. And you have a father who the Bible says owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says the earth is his and the fullness thereof. His resources are limitless. That's the God that you have here. So don't live like an unbeliever. It's not all up to you. It's not true that you only have you to take care of you. It's not true that you don't have a father in heaven. You have a father in heaven. One guy I read said something like this: just knowing that you have a father in heaven, that cures all anxiety. I have a father with limitless resources, and he loves and he cares for me. And so when it comes to money and God's provision, it's a faith issue. And you have to come to believe, I have a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if I give myself to serve him, if I start making decisions that put money second, church first, I'm always going to have what I need for life and godliness to get me to the other side, and it will be worth it because I have a heavenly Father who cares for me. Number four, and the last one, it's real short, it's this. Why not worry about our financial basic needs is because God always gives enough grace for each day. God always gives enough grace for each day. Verse 34 says this: therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If all your needs are going to be provided for you every day, you know what you got to worry about financially? Nothing. And he says, let tomorrow worry about itself. God has enough grace for you today. And you know when he gives that to you? Today. God has enough grace for you tomorrow. And you know when he's going to give that grace to you? Tomorrow. God doesn't give you tomorrow's grace today. He saves that for tomorrow. He has enough grace for every single day. And so, relax. Can I give you some applications in here before we quit? Yeah? All right, thank you. Number one, stop worrying. That sound harsh? Stop it. Four times you see that in this passage. Verse 25, don't be anxious. Verse 28, why are you anxious? Verse 31, don't be anxious. Verse 34, don't be anxious. You realize that's a command? It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It's a command. So you can make a choice. I'm going to worry. I'm going to be anxious. Or you can make a choice to say, I'm going to trust God. It is very much a choice that we make. And so you can face things with faith or with anxiety. Choose the path of faith. Number two, stop believing that the lie that you need all this stuff. It's very true that you can lose all that what you got and you can still make it through life. I know we're told a lot of lies in our country that you need all this stuff. You don't need any of that stuff. You know what you need? With food and with clothing, I will be content. You know what the Bible says about food and clothing? He clothes the birds, or clothes the lilies. He feeds the birds. He'll take care of you. You have nothing to worry about. Don't worry about the finances. Philippians 4:8 says this: whatever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, of excellence, worthy of praise, think about these things. Gives you eight lanes of thinking, and I'm constantly reminded of the first one on there. What is true? What is true? I know I might lose this. I really want to keep it, and it's really helpful in life. Yeah, but is it true that you need it? No, it's not. All right, then stop worrying about it. What is true? Remind yourself constantly. Preach to yourself what is true. I need food and I need clothing. I need nothing else. And with these, I will be content. Keep your life simple. All right, number three, pray. This is like what I talked about at the beginning. It's where I got ahead of my sermon. It's the one thing, it's like so simple, we just forget to do. You know what the Bible says? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God says, don't be anxious. Bring them to me. The repeated phrase, you got troubles anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You struggling somewhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You got a trial? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You doing good? Hey, take that to the Lord in prayer as well. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That is the reminder we're constantly given. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't take it to the Lord and lay it down and then go, you know, I'm going to pick that back up. We're good at that. No, you take it to the Lord. You leave it there. You walk away. Let him take care of it. Number four, live life one day at a time. That's that last verse, verse 34. Not saying just wing it, but it's saying God gives you enough grace for today, so live for today. Don't be living in tomorrow today. Let tomorrow worry about itself. You just take care of your troubles for today, and you work through it. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a life without troubles, but you don't need to multiply them through worrying about them before they occur. God even knows about your troubles that are going to happen tomorrow, and he will give you enough grace for tomorrow. And the last one is this, give of yourself freely. Give of yourself freely. That's where this is all really headed. You'll notice there's a passage that I skipped over, and we're going to cover that next week. But with all of this thing, don't worry. You know when you free yourself up from worry, what it allows you to do? To give of yourself so much more. You're not putting out so much energy spinning your hamster wheel in your mind. You have a lot more mental capacity and physical capacity to do what the Lord has called you to do. And that's what we're going to look at next week. But give of yourself freely. Don't worry, just give. That's the message. Let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we look at a passage like this and there's encouragement in it, there is no doubt. There's rebuke in it, there's no doubt. And so whatever we need, Lord, I pray that you've taken my best efforts of words, and I pray that you apply them in each one's life as needed. God, I pray that you would take away anything that is not helpful and really stick to us, the things that we need to think about. And just backing up to think about, am I really laying up treasure in heaven? Or am I laying treasure down here on earth? Am I willing to take steps of faith to not be anxious about food and clothing, my basic needs? And am I willing to step forward and to seek you and to serve you, to make the hard decisions, to sometimes do things that don't pay here on earth and might take away our security blanket, and to do things that'll put a depth of reward up into heaven. So Lord, help us to think on this constantly in everything that we're doing. I know it has a different path for everyone, for myself. It led me to where I am. It's maybe not the same calling for all, but in whatever we find our hand in, let us do it unto you without anxiety for your purpose to make a difference in someone else's eternity and to bring you glory. So help us when it comes to anxiety with financial worry. Put that stuff behind us. Just realize that you care for the littlest things of your own creation. How much more the sort of crown of your creation, humankind. So may we be mindful of these things. May it order and direct our life. And for these things we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.